Hey, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Deeper Waters podcast. It's Andrea here, joined by Brandon.
What's up, guys?
And Caleb today.
Hey.
We're super excited to dive into another conversation. But before we get there, just a couple of reminders for you. We're sponsored by the CCC Cafe. So stop in first person to say the word or say the phrase, excuse me, Danae is the best. We'll get a free small coffee. So maybe bonus. She might even upgrade you to a medium if it's Danae working in there at that time.
That'd be sweet. We can't promise that.
We can't promise that, but you never know. You can try it.
She at least deserves the compliment.
Oh, for sure.
Because she's just worked with us so well with this free drink thing. So
yes.
And she's been working hard in a lot of other areas.
So be the first person to go and say that to whoever's working in the cafe for a free small drink. Again, reminder, we upload this podcast on Wednesdays, so be sure to subscribe wherever you listen so that it automatically drops in there once we upload. No hang tonight. If you're listening to this on the day that it comes out, but we'll be back next week, the following week for our, is it the last hangout of the year already? I think it
is
might
that...
be May 1st. It's the last night of Awana.
Yeah, that's the last hang
crazy
of the year.
So come and help at Awana. If you're interested, we need some people to help scoop ice cream. So that'll be fun. And then, yeah. So let us know if you want to come scoop ice cream and then hang out for the last hang of the school year. Also, Impact, we're getting ready to wrap up for the school year as well. So we just have a couple more left. So be sure to join us this weekend, next weekend. Again, if you're listening when this comes out. And then May 19th is Snack Awards. So be sure to come and hang out and celebrate the school year with us on that night as well. And then finally, the Emerging Christian Leaders Experience is coming up this summer up at Crown College. So if you're looking for opportunities to grow in your faith and in your leadership, this is a great opportunity for you. So if you have more questions about it, want to get signed up, talk to Brandon and he will get you all the information that you need on that. Now, song that we're listening to this week, Caleb. What you got for us?
Yeah, so we have a playlist that plays as you walk into Impact and as you leave, and we play it out in the gym as well. It's really cool. It's a really great playlist. And on that playlist are a bunch of worship songs that are probably coming up in our rotation for Impact, but also songs that are just, you know, they're great songs.
Yeah.
They're great songs to listen to by amazing artists. One of those amazing artists is kind of an old figure in worship music. Like, he's been around a long time, extremely influential in my journey through worship, and what it looks like to be a worshiper, what worship music kind of sounds like. They really broke through and blazed that trail for everyone to come. It's Martin Smith from Delirious, he's got a song called Dancing in the Fire, and yeah, it's great. It's super fun. It's a bop. Great piano, like a lot of tack piano, like it's really fun. So that's a great song. I've been listening to that a lot.
Yeah.
And it's on our playlist.
Awesome. So as we dive into our conversation today, again, we started on Sunday, the last series of the school year, looking at Hebrews and just talking about this race that we're running and how do we finish well. And so Brandon kicked it off this week. But before we dive into specifically what we talked about, tell us a crazy story about some sort of physical activity or challenge or something that you guys have had to do.
You go first.
You mean to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
I have a few.
Looking at it, I was like, Brandon knows exactly
I have
what he
two.
Wants to share.
I have
still
I got,
thinking over there.
I got one. Like, I was an athlete all throughout college, but I have one time where we went to Glacier National Park. And I feel like I've told this story on this podcast before, but I can't remember. But we decided to, like, hike up this mountain in Glacier. And it was off a really popular trail. Like, you go, it's called the Highline Trail. You go on the Highline Trail for about a mile. And then you look to the right, and it's just a mountain straight up. And there's a trail that's, like, not easily like designated trail, but like there's a book that you can get that shows you the way to the top of this mountain. And as we get to the base of where we're supposed to start, our friend who's supposed to have the book looks in his backpack and realizes he left the book back home, back in Bozeman and 6 hours away. So we're like, well, we have one guy who did it 2 years ago. Let's see what we can do. And we definitely did not follow the trail, not even close, but it turned from a hike to like we were scaling this mountain. Like we were climbing some parts of it with like no equipment and just going. So it was crazy that we did that.
This is what wisdom does not look like. No, it doesn't.
It was like looking back, I was like, I can't believe we did this. But it took so long. We finally got to the top and then we're like, all right, now we got to go down. And going down took even longer than going up. And it's like you would like climb up and a lot of the mountain side of the mountain was like loose rock. So you'd like slide and like, okay, hopefully I stop. And we like
so we roll down the whole mountain.
We like had parts where like we climbed down instead of just it was crazy. Like there's like 12 of us that went up and down and prayed a lot.
Okay,
and
12 went up and 12
yeah
came down.
Everyone
okay, great.
Everyone was safe. The people that we that like stayed behind were like worried. They were like, should we call somebody? Because it was late. We got back pretty late, but it was like I got to run with mountain goats and be with my friends and it was fun. But definitely, if I was to do it again, I'd need the book. But yeah, it was a crazy long experience to do that.
I love that.
Yeah, crazy physical activity story for me. I don't know if I have like a crazy story like that, but I can tell you in high school, I ran track and I was in a small school, so they didn't have a lot of like kids to run races. Mm-hmm. So you kind of did whatever you were interested in. Well, I ended up signing up for like a lot of things because I was interested in them. But I was like the only person interested in these races. So like the hurdles, I was the only guy that wanted to do that on our team. No one else wanted to do that race. So I ended up running in my average track meet would look like this. I would run the 4x4, the 4x2, 300 meter hurdles, 110 meter hurdles, long jump, and whatever race that they needed somebody to run.
Yeah,
like
wow.
That was like
my hamstring just got nervous for you.
in the semi sprint category, like nobody wanted to do that. So like we had a lot of long distance runners and cross country people on our track team, but we did not have a lot of like short distance runners. So like any race, you know, under 400 meters was kind of
for people who wanted to come and watch you, it was probably the best situation.
It was great.
For a track.
Yeah. My parents were never bored.
Right? They always had something to watch versus
Yay.
Usually going to a
we're
track.
We're watching team. Caleb suffer
all day.
All day.
It felt like that.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Hey, way to go.
You know, what's that?
Way to go.
Hey, you know, I mean, turns out I could have just been an endurance runner.
Yeah, right.
All
yeah,
that.
Like, but they had those, so you know.
But I hate that, so I didn't want to do that. I wanted to run for a little while and then stop.
Yep.
I'm done for like 10 minutes.
Here you go.
Till next
Here
race.
You go. Oh, I love that. I have one that like I'm proud of and one that I'm not so proud of. One is in college, you had to take like these activity credits or whatever. So I played badminton because that sounded like a
nice.
Fun. Like,
that sounds fun.
And I went undefeated. Like,
wow.
Yeah, so I'm pretty proud of myself.
Don't
for that.
Challenge.
Don't play badminton.
She's got a net in her backyard.
But then the other one that is a little embarrassing, but also like, what do you do? Like, so I have never been, I've been skiing once now. But I had never been skiing, and I studied abroad in Europe, and one of our last stops was Switzerland, and we had an opportunity to go skiing on the Matterhorn. Which...
You have to.
No matter
I know,
your experience.
I had to. I know. But also...
can't say no.
Andrea's never gone back to Switzerland.
You know, I've never been skiing. No, I'm good. I'll stay here.
No.
You guys go have fun.
No. So I go. And, like, I felt like I was so nervous. But I, like, had friends who were, like, oh, like, who had been skiing, like, on the trip. Like, they were, like, we'll help you. We'll teach you, whatever. And I was, like, okay, like, this makes me feel better. We get, like, up to the top of the mountain and we hop off the lift and go put our skis on. And because they're not just, like, the little chairlifts that, like, it's, like, a solid, like, 5-minute ride up to the top of the mountain. And all of our friends, I was with one other girl who had never skied before. And all of our other friends got to the mountain and took off. And so we're at the top of the mountain having zero idea how to ski. None whatsoever. And so, like, and, like, this is not a mountain that you start skiing on. Like, this is really, really dangerous, like, to start here. And I'm like, I'm going to die. Like, we are going to die. And so literally we started and we tried to get partway down. And, like, before long, we're like, this is so unsafe. Like, we have no idea what we're doing, where we're going, like, and so we popped our skis off and climbed back up the mountain and rode the gondolier down.
They just left you?
Hilarious. They just left us.
Hey, we will help you. We will help you.
So I have, needless to say, I've never skied again since that experience. A little traumatizing, but, you know, I can say I tried to ski on the Matterhorn at least. You know,
there was
you
an attempt.
You skied on the Matterhorn. You can say that.
It didn't go very far. But
you can put that on your resume.
I also climbed up the Matterhorn.
I skied down the Matterhorn once. Part of the way,
but you know, it's it makes for a good story.
What makes that a best, like, a great story is not the fact that you stopped skiing down the mountain and just walked down the rest. It's the fact that you climbed back up.
Oh yeah,
the
it way was that you came and then shorter to go back up.
So, like, great.
We had no, like, again, the gondolier ride up, like, it was, like, a long way up. And so we're like, it's going to, if we walk down, this is going to be, wow. But anyways, we had a lot of crazy skiing stories that trip because a lot of us had not skied before.
Well, not you.
But, you know.
No, others.
Of course not. Others. Others have crazy stories.
The powder was so great today, you guys.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. It was really hard to walk
through. Yes. In your really ski boots.
It was all in my boots. My feet are freezing. My socks are wet.
Anyways, okay. So these are all really fun, crazy stories, but not actually the race that we're talking about. As Brandon started this series, again, this idea of running a race and finishing well. And so what the first point that he talked about this weekend is this idea of laying aside yourself. In our race, we have to set aside our weights, our sins, and really give that over to the Lord. So how does someone go about doing that? What does it look like for us to lay aside ourselves as we run this race?
This is actually something probably last year I was thinking a lot about this. You know, the concept of when Jesus says, lay down your burden and take mine because my burden is light. Mm-hmm. What is so interesting about that is God's not really calling us to not have any burden. It's to care about what he cares about.
Yeah.
So what's tremendously freeing about that is you're no longer focused on the things of this earth that seem heavier than they are. Mm-hmm. And they feel heavy. It's hard to carry that weight. It's the weight of sin that we're carrying, right? And when you cast that aside and you take on the burden of the Lord and his kingdom, mm-hmm. and you focus on not the things of this world that are fleeting and passing, but the things that are eternal, there is a tremendous weight lifted off of your shoulders when you focus on the things that the Lord is calling us to focus on, which is building his kingdom, which is focusing on what he's calling you towards, his purpose for you and your life, and not what you can perceive as good or great for you. You know, I get caught up in that all the time of like, you know, they call it keeping up with the Joneses, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I'm just trying to make ends meet. I'm trying to, you know, make money to take care of my family. And when I was in high school, it was the same kind of deal, just different context, right? It was, I have to have these things. I have to appear this way. And I have to work hard or, you know, appear to work hard to get these things. I have to have a certain image. And when I'm so focused on that, it gets to be a lot. You're maintaining something that's not true, ultimately, when you're carrying that weight and that burden. And when you finally say, like, you know what? This isn't worth it. I'm going to set this at the foot of the cross. I'm going to let Jesus take this from me. He's carried it. He's taken it away.
Yeah.
It's gone once and for all at the cross. When I leave that at the foot of the cross and I take up his burden for my life, what he's called me to, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you don't know what a yoke is, it's this big wooden bar that kind of, if you've ever seen like an ox that's carrying, like pulling a cart, or like, you know, that image of like the water maid who's got like buckets of water on like each like side, that's a yoke. And when you're carrying that and all that weight in those buckets of just junk and like things you don't need to carry, when you cast that off of yourself, it's amazing the relief you feel, the freedom you feel when you start to focus on kingdom things.
Yeah.
And not like small kingdom things, like big kingdom things.
Yeah.
Not my kingdom, but the Lord's kingdom. It's incredibly freeing. I've experienced it a lot of times in my life. Mm-hmm. Like I take that burden back up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. I shed myself of the Lord's burden and I start taking up my own again. Over and over, it's this constant cycle. And I have to remind myself, man, I'm carrying a lot. I feel really heavy right now. And like, get on the scale. I weigh the same. It's not that. you know, it's for sure like this huge burden that I'm carrying and I'm putting myself. And when I start to feel stressed or anxious or worried about things that don't matter. Mm-hmm. They just don't matter.
Yeah.
You know, it's fleeting, it's passing. These things work out 100% of the time.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get caught up in that, you know. And it can run away with you. You can let it run away, and it can spiral. And the only way to get out of that downward spiral is to just say, you know what? I'm going to set this back at the foot of the cross. I'm going to let go and let God. And I hate that phrase. It's such a platitude that we hear in church all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But there is so much truth to that.
Sure.
There's a reason it's said all the time. There's a reason it's a cliche phrase.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to let go and let God. What it really means is I'm going to let go of my burden and let the Lord carry that for me. And I'll take up his burden, which is
I love what you said, like this idea, like you have to leave it there, right? And I think sometimes we get into this idea, like we think like, oh, like I've given that over to the Lord and like I move on and we find ourselves feeling heavy again. And sometimes we don't even realize that we picked that back up again.
Yeah.
And so we have to like, it's not always just a one time, like again, the idea. Deal would be that we set it there, we lay down our burdens and we leave it there and it's no longer a thing. But more often than not, we tend to pick it back up. And sometimes it's just like a little bit at a time that we start taking back our burdens. And so we have to be constantly reflecting on, okay, what burdens have I picked back up? And sometimes we don't even know, like, we don't even know like what we're carrying or why we're feeling so heavy. And I think like having like, again, being able to go to the Lord and ask him to reveal those things to you and like he will, and he'll show you those areas of like, hey, like let this go. Let me have this, you know, and he'll show you those areas that he wants you to release and will give you that freedom and that relief.
A huge piece of wisdom is self-awareness.
Yes.
Like, if you want to grow wiser, pray for self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Like, Lord, make me aware of those times where I'm holding on to too much.
Yeah.
Like, you see it, I see it so much at just in church when people walk through the door and they leave their burden there, right there at the door. Like, they have the right posture. They come in ready to let it go. And they let it go for the church service. Mm-hmm. And then on their way back out,
pick it right back
you
up.
Can see, mm-hmm. you can see the weight just fall back on their shoulders. It's not everybody, but every now and again you see those people and it's like, man, you know, you're so close. Just mm-hmm. like leave it there. It's not worth taking it home with you. Yeah.
For sure.
With this idea of the metaphor of running a race, like this idea of like continuing to choose that, right? It's almost like if you've ever run a race, they have the water stations, mm-hmm. right? Like we have to, you can't just drink water one time and then you're just hydrated for the rest of the race.
Yeah.
It's like continuing to drink so that you stay hydrated. It's the same idea. It's that mental choice, right? It's not just like a feeling. It can't be just a feeling of I'm letting my feelings go, but it's that mental choice of I'm either going to choose to focus on what is the weight that I'm holding, or I'm going to choose to focus on what God desires of me and what he is able to hold.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that, like, obviously there are a lot of things that we do, like when we're talking about a little literal race, right? You're drinking water, you're training for it, you have these things. But when we're talking about this race that we're running in life, like, what does it look like for us to run that well?
I think just the second point that I made, like, look to Jesus, mm-hmm. right? That's like our goal. Like, God calls the Israelites in the Old Testament to be holy as I am holy, and like to be set apart. And as Christians, that's our goal, to live like Jesus did. But we're not going to do that if we're not relying on him, laying down our weight, and looking to him as our goal. Mm-hmm. When we're looking at culture distracts us all the time with social media, with like sports, school, like so many things. And a lot of those things aren't bad, but they can take away our focus and where we're looking. And if our goal, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, then we can be Jesus in those spaces instead of letting those things affect the way we our relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm at this weird phase in my life where I've gotten older and I've had friends who've passed away, and I've seen, you know, grandparents pass away. And, you know, one of the things that has been the common thread with those people who you can say have ran their race well, mm-hmm. is they leave behind a legacy worth imitating. Mm-hmm. So like when Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, well, you know, we've all seen those memes, right? Where like, you get the person on the swings and they're like jumping over the swings and it's like Paul and he's like doing great. Mm-hmm. It's like jumping over it. And then there's like the stay-at-home mom who tries it one time and just like biffs it first try. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is me imitating Paul as he imitates Christ. It's like,
yeah,
that's totally it. And you know, like I see those people and I look up to them so much as like, man, these are people who are worth following their example of what it looks like to walk with Jesus closely.
Yeah.
You know, they've ran their race so well, they left a legacy worth looking to imitate. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, like, those are those, you see it in people who you can see they're running their race well. Mm-hmm. If you just ask them what their daily routine looks like,
yeah.
I promise you there is significant amount of time carved out mm-hmm. to just be with the Lord.
Yeah.
Just take the time to be with him, to walk with him, go to the well of living water. Which is, we talk about this water stations, right? Like, immediately I thought to Jesus' interaction with the woman at the well.
Yeah.
And she's going back all the time to get water. And Jesus says, if you come to me, you'll drink living water and you'll never need to return to the well again. Mm-hmm. Like, that is so true. That is what Jesus is. You know, that's living water. You know, we can go to these self-help books, right? Like, they're everywhere. That's like mm-hmm. one of the most popular
genres
of books, right? Yeah. Like anything, like even documentaries, like there's so many that are like self-help. I see it all the time. Like my feed blows up with that. And I don't know why, because I'm not like, I don't read a lot of self-help books, But I do read a lot of like how to be a better Christian books. But to me, there's no difference there, really. Like, we're kind of getting into the same thing. The only difference there would be like, you know, books like, I mean, we're reading through one right now as a team called Practicing the Way. And it's like a self-help book for Christians, right? But like, how many times in that book are we pointing to Scripture and pointing to Jesus? Like, everything in that points to Jesus.
Yeah.
Not back to yourself.
Yes.
And I think that that's the thing that when, you know, when we talk about those burdens, right? When we talk about running the race and like freeing yourself from the shackles of sin and the things that are weighing you down from running that race well, if you're so focused on yourself, you forget to pay attention to the one who's actually going to take your burdens away, which is Jesus. When you start to focus on him, your burden becomes incredibly light. It becomes easier to run that race of life. Every time. Every time. Yeah. It's easier when you look to Jesus. Like, all of those things are true. You know, all of those cliche things that you that we hear and we see, and it's a common thread, not just in your everyday church, but in, and I would never point you to this, but in prosperity gospel churches as well. The common thread is when you look to Jesus, things get better. And that is true. Now, we're talking about very different things, right? However, the common thread in the condition of your soul, like there is, I just saw a clip of a pastor talking about, there is hope for your soul when you look to the Lord. There is hope. It might seem hopeless in the moment, but there is hope. And like that burden of hopelessness and that despair that can creep into your life every now and again when you start to go into that downward spiral. When you look to Jesus, you see the hope.
Yeah. I think, too, something important to be reminded of in running the race is knowing what, like, the finish line is, right?
Yeah.
You know, and so if we think in our spiritual life, in our journey with Jesus, that our finish line is having incredible habits where we're spending, you know, and at, like, the habits are not the finish line.
No.
Like, we say it at the end of every podcast, right? Go and be more like Jesus. Like, that is our finish line, to be more like Jesus. And I loved, as Caleb mentioned, this book that we're reading together. I love this image that the author paints of, again, in Scripture, we see that we are to abide in Jesus, right? And to be with him and to just be connected continuously to him. And he talks about practices or spiritual habits being like a trellis. If you've ever seen a garden or a vineyard, right, there's vines that are growing. And oftentimes they're guided by a trellis, right? It gives them and it helps them along in this growth. And I think, again, like, we have to remember that, like, the goal is not to stick to the trellis, right? The goal is growth. And so we want to remember that too. Like, it's not to perfect our habits. Like, that's not the goal. Like, yes, they are really good things and they help us get to our goal, but they themselves are not our goal. And so I think that that's something that, again, if we have an idea of in our head of what our finish line is and it's not accurate, more than likely we're going to end up going off course.
For sure. Yeah. And like, the habits lead to that goal, right? Yeah. Like, that's the thing to remember. Like you said, like, habits aren't the goal. The habits lead to it. One of the things that I had a friend who prayed a prayer one time, and it has always stuck with me. We're talking about, like, abiding in the Lord.
Yeah.
It's not enough to just know who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
It's an entirely different thing to know Jesus and be known by Jesus.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is what we read in Scripture when Jesus says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But Lord, did we not do all of these things in your name, all of these great works? Did we not witness to those? Did we not bring people to salvation in your name? It's like, yeah, but I never knew you. Mm-hmm. I never want that to be me. Yeah. And I'm focused on the habits and not the source.
Yep.
That's what can lead to that. And I think my friend prayed this prayer, Lord, I pray that we know you and are known by you.
Mm-hmm.
Draw us close to you so that happens. And I think that when you do that, the picture of the eternal becomes so much more clear. Because you don't just know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
You're known by Jesus. Yeah. You're walking close enough with him to call him friend. Mm-hmm. You know? And these are words we throw around in church all the time. Jesus is my friend. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. 100% true. But what does it take to be friends with somebody? It's not a one-way street. Mm-hmm. It's not, I'm going to go to you every time I need something.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's a mutual thing. It is a two-way street. You have to be a part of that friend's life for them to call you friend.
Yeah.
It's one thing to call Jesus a friend. Would he call you friend? And I think that's the, you know, that's the hard part about like focusing on the eternal, like, and running that race well. It does take knowing Jesus and being known by Jesus.
Yeah. And it's something that, again, like, this is something we're doing our whole journey, right? Mm-hmm. It's a race that we will continue to be on. And so we hope that this conversation kind of encouraged you, but also challenged you to look at the race that you're running. Are you continuously picking up your burdens and making your race harder to run? Do you know what your goal is, where your finish line is? As you're running this race to help guide you and actually know where you're trying to be. And so as we wrap up today, instead of us sharing our next steps, we'd love to hear from you guys on your next steps. So I'd encourage you guys, we're going to post on Instagram about this podcast being posted. And then we'd love for you to comment on there. What's your next step in this? Because again, we want to continue to take steps towards Jesus in that. And so again, thank you guys for tuning in. We're really appreciative of that. We love you guys. We care about you. And with all that being said, we say to you, go and be more like Jesus.